You are listening to Pastor Ben Eckel of Calvary Chapel, Keweenaw Peninsula, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Tune in each week as Pastor Ben teaches through the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Or watch us live on Sunday mornings at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time on our Facebook page. You can access our library of teachings at www.cckeweenaw.com.
Today's message is going to address some spring cleaning I think we all need to do. Things creep in unaware, or things creep in just through neglect, or things creep in because of the flesh. And they're sins of self-pity, right? Can't turn it off. You'll die if you turn it off, right? No, we don't want you to die. No, but the idea, there's sins of self-pity, there's sins of victimization, there's sins of entitlement. All these sins creep in, and it's really when we get our eyes off of the Lord, we get our eyes on ourselves, don't we? We start to complain to God because our spouse doesn't meet our need anymore. The people God brings into our life are irritating. The food we eat is subpar. The truck we drive is not great. All these things where we start to complain and chew, and we always tend to accuse God of withholding something from us in that. Or am I just confessing my own sin here? Do you ever just think God isn't trying to bless? In fact, he's withholding just to be mean? Because that's what Satan whispers, doesn't he? It goes back to the Garden of Eden. You know, the one day the lady talked to the snake. Men, if you catch your wife talking to a snake, kill the snake. Or just, no. Satan loves to indict God of withholding something from you. Don't you know that if you just eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Wait a second. You mean I've had access to everything but that, right? I mean, I know this as a parent. My daughter will find the one new thing in the room. The one new thing. And if I leave the room for 2.3 seconds, she will find it and have it dismantled, right? You tell her no, and that's the one thing she's going to be preoccupied with for the whole day, right? Amen? Parents, right? It's because they're little versions of us. But oftentimes, we accuse God of withholding his best from us, and while the whole time it's been given to us, we've had full access to it, but it's been us who've been unfaithful in retrieving it, in pursuing it, in attaining it. And I'm not talking about salvation, but I'm talking about the promises of God, the resources God has. We tend to take things into our own hands. We try to answer our own prayer. And it creates a greater hunger in us, doesn't it? It's like when you're hungry. We just road tripped. And what do you do when you road trip? You go and you eat Slim Jims and Doritos and Funyuns and wash it down with a 48-ounce sugary. And then, like, by the time you're just like, ugh, right? You give yourself a little license on the road. But it never, those salty and sugary snacks, although they taste good, don't fulfill. And so there's a cure. We're not going to just beat everyone up, including myself, but as we're heading into a new season, the Lord is keenly aware that some of us may be in self-pity, some of us may be feeling victimized, or some of us may be feeling that we're lacking, God's withholding. He knows that. He's keenly aware of that. And so he gives us a solution. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit, is there's conflict resolution. Psalm 66, verse 1, we really don't know the backstory to this. There's some speculations, but it's of no consequence. We can follow the pattern here. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Step 1. Hey, make a joyful shout to God. Joyful. How many of us went to praise and worship this morning with joy in our heart?
I didn't feel like it.
Okay. You know, what's the difference between joy and happiness? You can turn your phone off. Yeah, Travis. But what's the difference between joy and happiness? Joy is when people turn their cell phones off before church. Happiness is when they finally do it in the middle of the message. No, joy is really like an internal feeling, isn't it? It's just one of those, you're just kind of like an internal peace and calm, versus happiness is always predicated on something like a $100 bill in your pocket, or you finally figured out what was wrong with your car, or you paid your bills off. There's that momentary sense that, oh, yay, but that, it's fleeting. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. How awesome are your works. Do you look for God's hand in your life daily? Do you know what to look for? It always seems the problem is very eminent, first thing in the day, first thing to knock on the door. It's like, you know, oh, here's the problem. Here's the overdue water bill. Oh, car's leaking oil. Oh, this, oh, that. You know, you just kind of, you can start your day off to spiraling down because the problems are there. How awesome are God's works? Sometimes the awesome works of God are really acknowledging that you have life, breath, and heartbeat. Some of you guys know what it's like to not have any of that, right? I mean, there's people in this room that have died. Some of you guys who've been hooked to every tube and had every organ removed and rearranged. I mean, I know you old guys, right? You guys have been reassembled. Praise the Lord, man. You're still here, right? You ever just be like, woo! Yeah. It's like some of the vehicles we drive, you know, those faith mobiles. That it's just like it's the tape holding it together. I guess that's why it runs so good, but you start to look for the little things in life, the small moments of joy. I remember the early days when I got saved. I could appreciate a sunset. I could appreciate a sunrise because before the sunrise said time to quit drinking and go home. Now it means, you know, whoo, you know, we got a new day. You know, birds, trees, little things like that. I could appreciate creation. Say to God, how awesome are your works? Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. Now, this psalm has a prophetic element referring to there's going to be a time where Jesus will literally reign and rule on the earth. It's called the millennial kingdom. And this will occur. There will be a time where righteousness will reign and rule, and all nations will be in subject to the Lord. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing towards the sons of men. God is always good to us all the time. Always. Even the bad stuff that comes in, the Lord can use for his honor and his glory and his goodness. Okay? But he's good. Remember that. God has no ill motive to you at all. God is not mad at you because he sent his son to die in your place. He satisfied his wrath on the cross with Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean we skip the discipline of God, but learn to embrace the discipline. When God comes in and kind of takes you to the woodshed a little bit, hey, carry the switch, right? You ever have a grandpa like that? Let you go pick a branch off the tree? Hey, we're going out back, son. Pick whatever branch you want. What's going on, grandpa? You'll see. But he did it because he loved you. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There will be rejoice in him. Or excuse me. There we will rejoice in him. Oftentimes, we got to rely on hindsight to see what God has actually done for us. Sometimes I can't explain what has happened in my life, how I got from point A to point B. Have you looked back and go, that was not a straight path. That was kind of like a zigzag. We got there. And then there's times in your life where I can't even explain. See, if you can explain what's going on in your life, your ministry, your job, your business, then maybe God's not in it. But sometimes God's got to take you through some rough patches, So he gets you to the miraculous, so he can get you into his resource. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. You know, in any loving relationship, we get to add something to it. We don't have to. We get to. We get to bless God back. How's your blessing towards God been lately? How do you bless God? Do you spend some time in the Word? Do you spend some time in praise? Do you honor him with your time, your talent, and your treasure? Well, the Lord, he doesn't expect it, but he is blessed by it. It's like I go and buy my daughter paper, and I buy her pens, and I buy her things so she can draw and express herself and scribble. And then she gives it to me, and I'm blessed by it because that's my daughter, and she's doing something for me that she's trying to bless me. Like this morning, I went up and I stole a Cheerio. So I went to the fridge because I do it just as a gag. She grabs a Cheerio and walks over and hands it to me. Like, here you go. You can have another one, Dad. I know you like Cheerios now, so here's a Cheerio. That was an expression. She's wanting to bless her dad. Okay? Food's our love language in our house. Anyone come from that house? Yeah. Some of you guys know it. When I ask people to come over for dinner, I know the rookies will be like, what are we having? I'm like, does it matter? It'll be lots of meat. That's all I can say. Verse 9, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved? We sang this morning, it's like not only do we hang on to God sometimes, but God's really hanging on to us. You know, we're in the palm of his hand and we can't get away from him. And oftentimes, he lets you go through the dark valleys and he lets you go to the high highs and the low lows and lets you experience some deep things to show you that he's got you. You're going to die on time, right? You're going to take that last breath when he says it's ready. But he takes you through that to show you that he's got you, right? Sometimes I like security and safety. I like to have all my props around me, right? The fence, the locks on the door, the burglar alarm, you know, the fat bank account, the reliable vehicle, all that stuff. But it's a false sense of security, isn't it? Because it's not founded on the Lord. And the safest place for you and I to be, Christian, is in the will of God. And he's going to keep you. Verse 10 says, for you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. So through this, using Israel as an example, as they've gone through some serious trials, God was purifying them, right? This is, you heat up silver, the dross comes to the top, and you just keep removing it. But you need heat and pressure to purify and strengthen metal. And oftentimes, as we go to the Lord and say, oh, Lord, create me in your image. You sure? Oh, Lord, I want patience. No, you don't. You don't want that trial. I want to be a lover of people. Okay, I'm going to send some messy ones your way. Start with them. He purifies us. Right? The trials that the Lord allows into your life will either make you bitter or better. How are you doing today? You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us to rich fulfillment. Oh, man. Sometimes you will never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all that you have. There's things you're only going to experience. There's only things you're going to see about Jesus through tear-stained eyes. Sometimes there's going to be some things you're only going to feel sitting in a hospital bed or, heaven forbid, a jail cell. But, you know, the way things are going, you're going to rock out for Jesus. You'll be in jail. But you read the stories of the men and women who were persecuted for their faith or have done hard things for Jesus, and they'll tell you it was hard and it was terrible at the time, but something was revealed to them through that, and that was something of the nature and the character of God himself, the fellowship of sufferings. but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Think of some of you guys who've gone through some hard things. You took not just the 101 class, but now you're taking the PhD class. Do you regret it in hindsight? You may not want to go through it again, but you just realize you owned something of God through it. Verse 13, I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows. A burnt offering was a very special kind of freewill offering that the nation of Israel would perform. It was a vow of consecration. It was a vow that said, hey, Lord, I am all in. Right? I'm taking the seatbelt off. We're doubling down. I'm riding with you, dog. That's for you, bro. Sorry. But the point is, there's those moments where the Lord wants you to just take the belt off and say, hey, you ever ask the Lord, show me where I'm holding back? I mean, how many of us don't want all of what God has for us, right? How many of us just want to settle for mediocre Christianity till we get to heaven? Anyone? No. No one's raising their hand. But there's something in us that the Lord wants permission to do what he wants to do in us and through us. He's a gentleman. He won't force you into it. But when you go to him and you go, hey, I'm all in, watch what he's going to do with you. It says, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Excuse me. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Anyone have those oh God moments, like where you're really blowing it and you're just like, oh, Lord, if you get me out of this pickle, I will just. I think the Lord made good with my life on that. But the point is, we have to be careful when we make vows. The Lord's very serious. He says, hey, if you're not being 100% about your vow, don't make it. Don't just glibly tell God what you're going to do if he gets you out of the pickle. Because you're not going to manipulate him. He knows your heart. He knows what you're going to do anyway. But be careful. The other thing is, don't make promises to God under duress. Don't let the pressure of the situation cause you to say something you're not going to fulfill. Be honest with God. God may hold you to it. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. This is very important for our testimony, guys. Let people know what God has done for you. Don't be Bible answer man. Don't go around and tell everybody they're dying and going to hell. I think they're aware of that. And there's a time for it. But don't be this obnoxious Bible dispenser. They don't care. The world doesn't care about the Bible. It has no bearing on that. But they want to see you and how God has interacted with you and how gracious and loving and how restorative he has been for you. Give them your personal testimony. And don't make some clown rote, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, be real. How were you before the Lord? Or what is God taking you through today? Is your testimony current? Once I was lost, now I am found. Once I am blind, now I see. I just can't explain it. I just know where I was 18 years ago and where I am now. Or what I just went through and how good God has been to me. But talk to the people that are around you. Don't look for the crowds. Don't look for the accolades. Wherever you're at, you're God's man or woman for the job, right? You're God's person. And where you and God go, you make the majority. They already know you're a Jesus freak, so be it, right? Look for those opportunities to let them know what God is really doing deep inside of you, what he's brought you through. That's what people want to hear. What God's speaking to you, how you're coming to those conclusions. They want to see you love your Lord and Savior. Eat your cookies in front of them, right? You ever watch somebody eat something and you're like, dang, that looks good. I mean, it's one thing to see it in the wrapper in the package, but have you ever saw somebody really like eating a bucket of chicken? I actually left my car a couple weeks ago. I had a customer in my car. I was driving him. Eating KFC. I was so repulsed by it, I had to leave. Just, I'm like, oh, dude, you make it sound worse. Just stop. We could be that as Christians. I mean, we bellyache and complain around a lost and dying world, don't we? I mean, there's your evangelism. I mean, people are like, ew, why would I want, I'm doing better without God. You come over here, you're crabby, you light up a cigarette, you ask where my beer is, and then you complain about all the things in your life, and then you go, praise the Lord, you want to give your life to Jesus? No. No. We can be self-defeating. And I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. Extolled, fancy word for deeply pleased. You know, the Lord loves the voices of his kids. And oftentimes he'll put you in a circumstance just so you could cry out, Daddy. Dad? Sorry. Don't feel bad, because Satan will tell you, don't call on God. You blew it. If you call on God now, you're going to look weak. You got to figure this out on your own. No, that's precisely what the Lord wants you to do. He was extolled by your tongue. Cry out to the Lord. If you're suffering, you're struggling, you're ready to tap out, just say, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. I mean, any parent knows when they hear their kid say, Mama or Daddy, help, what do? We do it. Verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Now, this is an abused portion of Scripture. There's a camp that says if you have any unconfessed sin in your life, God can't hear you. Then you can't get saved, right? I mean, let's just be real. The idea, though, is are you holding something in your heart? Are you playing with something in your heart? Is there a sin in your heart you're indulging in? It hinders your prayer life. Just pray while you're watching porn. Doesn't happen, does it? Were you at the bar? You ever pull out your Bible at the bar, you know? I mean, think of whatever you're playing with. You know, is your Jack and Dope? Do you like read Scripture as you're filling the syringe? It doesn't happen that way, right? You're on a date with a non-believer. Hey, can I just read you a Bible verse? No. None of that happens, you know? As you're robbing the liquor store, do you ever tell the guy, hey, in Jesus' name, be safe? Right. These are all exaggerations, of course. Hopefully they're exaggerations. No one here is dealing with those things. I'm just being facetious right now. Marcus is looking away. All right, bro. You know, when you're given over, when you're a Christian and you know better, let's just talk about us Christians who know better. When you're given over to something forbidden of God, it's because you have lost the sense of the presence of God in your life. Correct? Ah, God's not watching. I can do this. And that is symptomatic of where your prayer life's at. The prayer life has already been gone by the time you've already gotten into that sin. But the other part of it is, if there's this condition in your heart, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. There may be some self-sufficiency going on. And then the other thing is, it says, and when you ask amiss, that whatever the Lord gives you, you'll spend it on your flesh. So sometimes you're asking for the wrong thing, right? Lord, I just need a wife because the laundry pile's getting big. Right? Come on, let's just be real. I just need a husband because, I'm tired of being embarrassed because I don't have any man to put my arm around. Hey, you got the Lord. I'm lonely. The Lord will never leave us or forsake us. So what's hindering your prayer life today? Do you have a prayer life? Verse 19 encourages us. It says, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. You know, sometimes delayed answer to prayer is a way for God to clarify the request. He wants you to really tune in your sights to exactly what he's going to bless you with. Just as the Lord tells us, you know, if he's not answering your prayer, it's just to ask, seek, and knock. And if he's not blessing you now, it's because he may bless you later. But keep pursuing the Lord in your prayer closet. Let's go to 67, verse 1. It says, to the chief musician, on stringed instruments a psalm, a song. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. It's a very important verse for us. This is telling me I need to be tapped into the source. That source of my blessing should be God's mercy, right? His favor. You and I can boldly go into the throne room of grace and obtain mercy on that day because the Lord just keeps the door open on the office, doesn't he? Come on in, guys. But we got to understand, we can't draw from ourselves to bless other people because it will come short. You ever get annoyed when you're trying to bless somebody and you just like, you find out they're not very graceful or they're not very gracious towards you? You know, you're serving the Lord, you're like cleaning the bathrooms at church, and gosh, these people are making a mess, and who tracked mud all over the church, and there's cigarette butts, and oh my gosh, these people are so ungrateful, and who drank all the coffee? Praise the Lord. Hey, that means I'm doing it in my flesh. But the Lord is so gracious to people that are ungrateful, isn't he? When I'm serving the Lord, it doesn't matter how people react to me. I'm serving the Lord. I have an audience of one. But I also have a deep well in which I can draw from. Christ said what? He says, if any man draws water from this living water, that out of him will what? Flow torrents of living water. It will happen. When you're tuned into God, it'll just gush onto other people. So let God be your source. Verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. You see a pattern emerging? How's the lost and dying world going to praise the Lord if they don't see God's own children praising the Lord? And I don't mean we've got to go around singing and being Ned Flanders like, hallelujah, neighbor. There's kind of a false, contrived Christianity, right? You see it every Sunday. You know, the perfect Christian. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I don't need any prayer requests. Oh, praise God. And oh, the sanctification of the casserole. And oh, Jesus, baby, Mary, amen. People see through that. But have you ever been around someone who's just radically in love with the Lord? They're kind of intimidating. You're just like, ooh, that person's like a spiritual giant. You know, I spent a weekend with we don't call it a retreat, a men's gathering. And you get to be around guys that are just serving the Lord better than you. And it's just like, I want what he has. And it's just a product of them just receiving the love of God in their life. But God wants our response to be an expression of that love and praise, but it can't be manifested on our own. You have to tap into that source, let him bless you, and then automatically it comes back. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. See, we don't have righteous judgment in offices right now. Our world isn't being governed properly, but in the millennial kingdom, we will see that. One day, we'll experience that. It says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. Now, this expression here is a bit of an agricultural term. Do they make vegetables and fruit at a factory? Well, probably in some countries now. You could get manufactured. But fruit is not manufactured, is it? You don't go into the workshop and build fruit. Fruit is a product. A seed is planted. It's watered. Sun shines on it. It's fertilized. And up comes a little shoot. And in time, that shoot grows into a fruit-yielding plant, and then one day the fruit bears these beautiful, lush, colorful little things that others want to eat. And then they go and propagate the seeds from that fruit. It's just like you and I, right? We have what's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's a byproduct, right, of what God has done in us and through us, through his gospel, through his word, through his Holy Spirit. I can't choose the fruit in which I'm going to bear, right? Just like a tree can't determine if it's an apple tree or an orange tree, it naturally occurs. But it should occur if all the elements are there. The earth shall yield her increase. I like this. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. You know when the nation of Israel was leaving Egypt. They were on the march. into the promised land. And they get to Jericho. And the spies are sent in and they talk to Rahab. And Rahab says, everybody knows God is with you. They saw what God was doing to the nation of Israel. Everybody was watching. To the point where Rahab said, hey, take me with you, the prostitute. And they said, all right, we'll get you out of here, sister. Something produced faith in her because of her watching God bless them leave Egypt. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Psalm 68. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, a song. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let those who hate him flee before him. So here's my question. Do you have a problem? Do you have a besetting sin? Do you have an addiction? Do you have something that you just seem to can't shake in your own effort? Do you have something annoying or something grievous in your life? Here's the solution. Let God arise. Bring God into the equation. The God of the Bible, the highest power, not the higher power, the highest. Bring in the God of the Bible to your struggle. Maybe you need to bring more of God. Maybe you love Jesus, you're walking with Jesus for 25 million years, but there's something you need to bring into the equation. Let God rise. He'll drive out the enemy. If you want to defeat a passion in your life, you need a greater passion. Right? It's just like this. I could say, hey, after church, we can go and get a $1.49 order of chicken nuggets from Burger King. Or we can go to Miller's and we can get chicken wings. They're more expensive, though. For those who've not had Miller's chicken wings, you're like, oh, man, $1.50, 10 nuggets, down. They may even have chicken in them. Just a side note, they did genetically test all the variations of chicken nuggets in fast food restaurants. The best one has 40% chicken in it. Just I thought I'd gross you guys out. That's free. That's extra. But the idea is you're not going to go eat fast food if you have access to the good stuff that's nourishing, that's satisfying. And oftentimes we have these besetting sins, the self-love, the addiction, because we have no joy in our life and we seek joy, right? Especially you smokers, you need joy every 20 minutes, right? That's your fleshly prayer life, you know. You get into things. We all do it. Bring the Lord in. Leads to this, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts, wax, candle wax, guys. Some of you guys may think wax is something else. We're not going to talk about that. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God. Only if you feel like it, and only if you agree to the style of worship being played at church. That's not what it says, does it? Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. You know, God will become important to you as you acknowledge him. As you make him important to you, he will become important to you. Sing to God for your own benefit, because he will now overwhelm the problems in your life. He'll transcend the issues in your life. It simply is a matter of turning your eyes off you and yourself and onto him. That's what praise does. Right? You guys all worship something, right? Some of you guys, you have your favorite song while you're driving, right? Get your motor running, right? Low rider. It's like your expression of love for your vehicle. Right? Or you're eating two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese. Right? The cheeseburger song for you Christian kids, right? You know, right? You grew up with the cheeseburger song. Don't look away. And you dog owners, you all sing to your dogs, because I sing to my dog, right? You have silly dog songs, right? Same thing with the Lord is he becomes the object of your affection. I love this. This is a very special verse for me, 5 and 6. This is really kind of the backbone of what I do and why I do it. He says he's a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Now, I really laid claim on this. You know, the Lord showed me years ago I was going to be an adoptive parent. But it's really the heart of God. God has a supernatural ability to minister to people that are displaced or lonely or don't fit in elsewhere. I mean, have you been to this church? What would unify all of us here other than our love of plaid, right? And boots. Boots and plaid. We're like soft core lumberjacks here. But you understand in a healthy church body, there's going to be misfits. There's going to be diverse people. There's going to be odd ducks. And they just can't be even more excited about each other, right? The Lord just knows how to put the lonely in families. You know, Christ says, anyone lose mother, brother, father, or sister for my name's sake, you'll get better. I love my church family. It's extended. I love the fraternity of churches I belong to because we have an identity, we have a language, and we have a love for each other that's better than my own blood family. Well, if you've met my blood family, you would see why. But the idea behind this is God sets the solitary in families. Right? This is what you see in the book of Acts. It was the Lord who added to the number daily those being saved, right? He sets the right people in the right body with the right talent set to get the job done. It's God's prerogative. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. What's binding you? What are you in bondage to? See, the Lord says that he will set you free. You are bought with a price. You are bought with the blood of Jesus, and he is going to prosper you. He will take you out of addiction. He will take you out of recovery. He'll take you out of whatever your besetting sin is, and he will give you a task. He will give you fulfillment. He will give you an abundant life. And I'm not saying this as a prosperity preacher. I'm saying this as when you're tapped into Jesus, when you're tapped into the Lord God Almighty, he's created you with a plan and a purpose for you, and he's given you a skill set, and he's given you a future that you can only obtain by submitting your life to him. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You ever watch somebody who's just in rebellion to God? The Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard. Maybe that's been you. Maybe you've just been wandering in dryness in a circle. You're back to square one today. You're like, why am I back here again? Why am I back here? Well, it's because you've never entered into the rest God has given you. Right? You're caught up into self-effort. You're caught up into just giving up. You're just caught up into being in the path of least resistance. Verse 7, oh God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, Selah. That's the beauty, is the Lord leads us. He doesn't drive us. He doesn't push us. He's gone ahead before us. Just as the nation of Israel, he says, hey, I have gone ahead of you. I'm already in the future with you fighting your enemies. You just need to step into what I have for you. You still need to fight. You still need to possess. You still need to enter into. But I've gone ahead. He's already prepared a place for you. But you still got to show up. You ever have a big dinner party and no one shows up? How do you feel? Kind of bummed out. Because you're like, man, I gotta eat roast beef for the next 3 days, leftovers. Kind of get bored on that third day. But no, the Lord sets a place for us, and he's really, it's sad that we don't enter into the things he's given us. We always settle short. We always bellyache. We always complain. That's hard. You know the only thing harder than following Jesus is what? Not following Jesus, amen. Yeah, I don't want to go back to them days. The earth shook, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You, O God, sent a plentiful rain, whereby you confirmed your inheritance when it was weary. Your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provide it from your goodness for the poor. Man, you want a stimulus package? Here you go. God provides from his goodness. The Lord is good. Period. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. He gave you what? His very best. And that was his son, Jesus Christ, who put on the earth suit, died a sinner's death, lived a perfect life, so you don't have to. He declares it is finished. And then he comes back 3 days from the dead and says, look, just believe. Just believe what I did for you. He provided goodness for the poor. Are you bankrupt today? And I don't mean money-wise, spiritually. Well, there's a checkbook full of faith that's available to you, and it's drawn from your father's account. Some of us have had checkbooks. And do you ever think just because you have checkbooks, you have money? Like the Federal Reserve? Hey, if they can print money, I could just write checks. But they call that fraud, and they frown on that. Unless you're a politician, it's not fraud. sorry. But you know what the greatest thing God provided for us, who are poor in spirit, who are morally bankrupt, who are emotionally bankrupt? You know what he gave us? Verse 11. The Lord gave his word, the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. The Lord holds his word above his own name. Everything you need in life and godliness is found in these 66 books. These 66 books written over 1,500 years by over 40 different authors on three different continents, and it has one message, how God redeemed our lives from hell. If he can save you from hell, he can give you fulfillment in his word. Do you take him at his word? Or are you Fred Flintstone? Yeah, but. Well, it really says in the Greek, or it really says in the, and it really says, I mean, God wants you to trust. He wrote you a book in your language. Anyone here get a C in English? You can read this book. It ain't that hard. If you got a D, we can get you the New Living Translation, but just take the Lord at his word, because that's your greatest need. It's the same word that created the earth. He can regenerate your life through that. But notice what he didn't provide. He didn't provide you emotion. He didn't provide you more junk, warm fluffies. Sometimes that stuff's there, but sometimes the Lord takes away circumstance. He takes away emotion in order to get you deeper into his word, that you're going to lay hold of that promise and that claim until it comes to complete fruition. And honestly, sometimes those scriptures may not come true to you till the other side of eternity, but they will come true. Verse 12, kings of armies flee, they flee, and she who remains at home divides the spoil. Though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scatters kings in it, it was white as snow in Zalmon. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? This is the mountain which God desired to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. There's a poetic expression here because the mountains of Bashan are very glorious in northern Israel. Very high peaks, snow-capped, they got ski courses. They're beautiful. We've been through there. But God desired to dwell in Mount Zion, a bump. A hill, right? Nothing too glorious down there, is it? It's city on a hill. It's actually not a mountain in real life. Not by our terms, by any means. But he says, why are you jealous? You know, you and I can get jealous. We get jealous when God blesses people that don't deserve his blessing, don't we? Sometimes we switch from the prodigal son to the older brother, the guy we never talk about. Why are you blessing him? Why are you blessing the church across the street? They don't deserve it. And the Lord's like, and you did? The Lord uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And oftentimes you find the reason God blesses us is because we're just in the spot to be blessed. You ever walk into a casino and you just put a quarter in, ka-ching, and you win $20 and you're like, yeah. Did you earn it? No. You just happen to be in the right place at the right time. And as a Christian, you're just sometimes going to be in the right place at the right time. You got a benevolent daddy who loves to give and bless, and he blesses because he's a blesser. Isn't that cool? I want to be around the blesser guy, you know? Some of you guys, your parents, you're like that. Like, you go to the dollar store with your grandkids, oh no, there goes another 20. You know, I'm a blesser too. Like, it'll be, hey, let's go out to eat. All right, let's go out to eat. I'm going to show you what it means to go out to eat. Right, guys? Some of you guys know, like, if it ain't $100, we did it wrong, right? We could have bought 2 weeks in groceries. We could have, but we didn't. We got barbecue, right? Because that's what I do. That's the Lord. He just loves to bless. Well, where am I at here? The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them, as is in Sinai, in the holy place. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Oh, I love it. The Lord gives gifts to men and he loads us with benefits. Oh, remember going to auntie's house or grandma's house on Thanksgiving and then she pulls out the Ziplocs? And she is going to load you with benefits, right? You want some pie? Yes. You want some turkey? Yes. You want mashed potatoes? Yes. Right? You got like 4 plates of food. That's the Lord. Do you look for God's blessing daily? You know, the Lord's prayer is what? Give us this day our daily bread. Are you drawing from his abundance daily? Are you in a habit of going to the Lord and asking and getting just filled up? Have you ever noticed God has just given you clearly more? Have you been so blessed by God where you're like, stop, just stop. This is too much. I'm gonna just, Lord, knock it off. Anyone say that? No. But there's some moments in our lives where God has just been so gracious to us because that's God. We think God's like us. Like, I am a penny pincher. I have a princess at my house. Her new name is Purple. It's the Purple Penny Pincher because she's discovered money. And she goes around collecting pennies. And she walks around going, where's my money? I'm like, oh, you're just like your mom. No. And I give her, you know why? Because that's the nature of my character towards my daughter. I want to give her and bless her. The degree of her blessing is strictly based on my ability to give it to her. Just like with God, is be an asker. Be in a place where God can give you. Challenge him. But also with that, what does Jesus promise us? You know, that first give and then it will be given to you. There's a backwards math where if you become a conduit for God's resources, he will increase your resources. I often think, well, I won't give until I get. And God says, give and then I'll give you more. Try to outgive God. But as my daughter reminds me of my favorite prayer, mine. I go to take the penny. Mine. No, it's going to go in the vacuum cleaner. We can't suck it up. Blessed be the Lord God who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. That's your greatest blessing, Christian, is God has offered you salvation based on his goodness. Are you saved today? Do you need to get born again? Wherever you're at with Jesus, does your relationship with God make you sure you'll go to heaven when you die? Ask yourself that. What are God's requirements to go to heaven? It's simple. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, Jesus Christ is Lord, and you shall be saved. If he can save you from hell, he can pay your water bill, fix your truck, right? Whatever you need done, he's got you. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs, escapes from death. That's the other side. There's no other way around this problem in our life called death. Some of us have this pan theory that I'll figure it out when I get there. Well, no. It'll all pan out then. No. You need to know now. Buddha doesn't offer any reprieve from death. He says, you're going to go back and try it again. Reincarnation. You want to come back again and do this? No. Some religions say, hey, maybe you'll get there. Maybe. Try hard enough. All religion really says that. Just try harder. Doesn't work. But Jesus says, I will bring you into heaven. I will go and prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. But God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. They have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels. Bless God and the congregations, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin, their leader, the princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us. What does the New Testament tell us? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Not the joy we have towards God, but the joy God has towards us. You know, God likes you. You may not be likable today. I mean, I've talked to your roommates, right? Some of you guys are just hard to live with. But the Lord's like, I love him. He's covered in the blood of my son. I love him. He's created in my image. I love him. That's our strength. If God is for us, who can be against us? Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herd of the bulls with the calves of the people, till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the people who delight in war. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hand to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises to the Lord. Selah. To him who rides on the heavens of heavens, which were of old, indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God, his excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. Ascribe strength to God. Is there a problem in your life God can't fix? How big is your God? Don't tell God how big your problem is. Tell your problem how big God is. Oh God, you are more awesome than your holy places, the God of Israel, he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. That's the beauty of God. It says he's more powerful, more awesome than your holy places. And that's the thing with God, is he's not limited. His presence isn't limited to one place. It isn't just the temple in Israel, right? Where two or three are gathered, that's where the Lord is. You know, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. If you are born again today, he is in you. That's the beauty of how big God is, how awesome he is. See, you don't have to make pilgrimage. You don't have to go to Mecca. You don't have to do all these things religion tells you to do. You don't need to seek nirvana. The Lord is with you. Let's end on a New Testament reference. Back to the original point. You and I, these besetting sins of self-pity, of victimization, of self-entitlement, that we deserve more than what we've gotten. I've realized that as a Christian, the only thing I deserve is what? Hell. That's what I deserve. But I want God's justice in my life. If God never blesses me ever again in this life, but I still go to heaven, he's perfectly just in doing so, isn't he? But Paul writes to the Philippian church in Philippians 4, 10 through 20. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. What's your greatest need? I was watching the new Falcon and Winter Soldier. Marvel nerd here, okay? You guys are probably going to be lost here. But part of the conditions of these two superheroes released from jail is they had to sit down with a therapist. And she says, we got to play this before you can go back out. She says, we have to play a game. You got to play the magic question. And they're like, oh, not the magic question game. And the magic question is in conflict resolution between a couple or roommates, right, write this down, is if you got granted one wish, what would it be? And they both had to exchange. And of course, each wish was for the other person to change their behavior, right? I would only love you if you would do this more or less, right? Anyone feel me on that? You married people, right? Jesus is the answer to your magic wish. If you're lonely, understand, he will never leave you or forsake you. If you're hungry, he will feed you. You know, the one thing I've learned as a pastor, the people that complain to me, single people always complain about what? Being single. Married people always complain about being married. You know what rich people complain about? Asset protection, their money. You know what poor people complain about? Being poor. No one's happy. Right? I'm an American. I have sicknesses because I eat too much. Right? I heard stories of missionaries that they've gone so long without food, the tapeworm crawls out of their body because there's nothing to eat. There's another freebie for you. But all of us have a hole shaped in our heart, right? You guys talk about this in your meetings, right? You all have a hole in your heart shaped like Jesus. But you've packed it with something else. Or you realize you're expecting another person to fulfill that for you. It doesn't work that way. Only the Lord can fulfill those deep down desires. He'll complete you. But his giving is abundant. His giving is so much more. Not only does he give enough for you, but for the people around you. You can't help but be a blessing to other people when you're tapped into Jesus Christ, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, when you're baptized in the Spirit. It's like liquid love and it just pours out on other people. You can't fake it. You can't imitate it. You just receive it. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So that's your prayer. Let the Lord fulfill that longing in your heart, that emptiness in your heart. Maybe it needs to begin with salvation. You need to confess you're a sinner, be born again, be saved. Maybe you need to be in a place of just confession and repentance before God and say, I just blew it. Maybe you've been a believer for 20 million years and you're dry. Let him fill you up. Let him bless you. Today we're going to do communion once I turn the camera off.